Now, the children in the room, I won't be long. If you could sit quietly, I've got one egg that you can fight over at the end. Maybe divide it up with a knife and fork or something. So, now, it's Good Friday. Yay! The cross in the Bible is called an offense to people. That's why there's not many people here this morning. No, thank you, we don't want to hear about that. I'd rather take the day off, have a day off work. That's all I care about. The cross is also called foolishness. Some people look at it and go, what is all that about? No, thank you. Well, what is it to you then, Good Friday, the cross of Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? That's a good question. Someone said the most scary phrase in the world is this: God is good. Because we're not. Right, okay, so if he's good and heaven is good, how are we going to get there? Now are we thinking about Good Friday? Now, I'm going to be rather offensive at the start because I'm going to preach the cross, right? Here we go. I had a chat with a friend recently, and he's a good friend, which so he was very open and honest with me. And he criticized the Christian faith and me, and he said this: you're not tolerant of other people, you're a bigot, you're arrogant, and you lack love. You're not tolerant of other people. But tolerance is not the Christian message. Now, that was my reply to him. That is not the Christian. We are to be loving and tolerant of people and help people and serve people and respect other views. But tolerance, in the sense that he meant, is not the Christian message. The cross is... okay? Well, Jesus is, isn't it? The one on the cross. If Jesus' message when he was on planet Earth was, believe anything you like, you'll all end up in the same place. Try your best. As long as you believe in something and follow your morals and convictions, it'll be okay in the end. If that was his message, that kind of tolerance, then they wouldn't have stuck him on the cross, would they? Everybody would love Jesus. He'd go, no, you can believe anything you like. There's no problems at all. You're all wonderful. Just have a believing heart and do what you like. But they killed him. My friend was waiting for a message which sounded agreeable and all-inclusive, like a pick and mix in the shop. I'll take a bit of this religion and a bit of my view and stick it all together and God will just think I'm lush. I also hear this all the time. Many godly sounding things, but actually they're not biblical. So we hear things like, what matters is that we find ourselves. All right, so let's lock ourselves in the cupboard or something and just meditate and find ourselves. Okay, was that Jesus' message? I don't know. The other one is, as long as your heart is in the right place, as in just believe what you believe. That's okay, don't hurt anybody, just believe it. That'll do, that's enough. Another person might say, if you believe in something, you don't need to practice it. So it's my personal way. Whatever goes, surely God will respect that. As long as we believe something. Following Jesus is my choice and I choose not to. Okay, when he tells me to do things, I'm free to say no and he won't mind. I like God, but actually when Jesus tells me to get rid of things in my life, I don't really have to follow him. He'll love me anyway because I'm sincere. All right, it's all the kind of same stuff that we hear, isn't it? So we end up creating our own God or philosophy, and we follow that instead. We make God palatable and acceptable, and he never offends anybody, and we all end up in heaven, believing in Buddha or Allah or Jesus, it doesn't matter, okay? Right, okay, so here's the problem with all of those philosophies. They keep you from coming to the cross. They keep you from coming to the cross. You don't need the cross if you think you're doing great with God in your own way. Why does Jesus need to die to forgive anyone then? Okay? So Jesus cuts through all of that claptrap. And some people say it's offensive. And I did for 20 years. And he says, no, no, listen. Listen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to God except through me. Take up your cross, turn from your sins, and follow me. That means this on Good Friday. We don't find ourselves. It means we're lost and he needs to find us. It means this. Your hearts are never in the right place. If you don't love Jesus, naturally you will not love Jesus and want to follow him. So it's not like it's okay just to believe your heart. It means this. All religions, all good deeds, all spiritual thoughts count for nothing if they don't lead to and are in and for Jesus Christ. And in that sense, Jesus was very narrow-minded, okay? And in that sense, he isn't tolerant. And in that sense, they murdered him for it, okay? And his followers don't get a good press in the New Testament either. So don't come to Jesus to have a cloud nine life. Now, let me just clear a few things up. Welcome to Good Friday. No, it is good. It is good. But we are to tolerate people and be loving as Christians, okay? We're to tolerate other religions and love them. We are. And to be there for them and to be good neighbors and good parents and grandparents and friends. There's no room for hatred. And you're not supposed to win Ogmore Vale for Christ by force. Okay? But this morning, we are called to be those who firmly, tirelessly, relentlessly and unflinchingly promote the one way. Otherwise, you're being of no help to anyone at all. Now, if Jensen comes out here now, he won't because he's been naughty and he's banned. But if he came out here and said, Dad, 2 + 2 = 5. That's truth. I would say, Jensen, I'm not going to tolerate that. I love you, but I'm going to correct you. 2 + 2 = 5. I will firmly and gently tell you that you are wrong. And that's loving. If Jensen goes onto a train track and there's a train coming and I've seen it with my binoculars and he hasn't seen it, and he says, I am convinced, Dad, it's safe here. This is my way, my thought, my convictions, and I believe it and it's okay. There is no train coming, I'm safe. And I've seen the train, I will say, Jensen, I will firmly, tirelessly, relentlessly love you into realizing you were wrong. There is a train coming. I won't tolerate it. Now, do you see the difference between hatred and bigotry and intolerance in the wrong sense, but firmly standing for truth? Jesus is alive, and he will return, and he will conquer every one of his enemies, and then peace will reign. Do you believe that? And that's why they killed him on Good Friday. That's one way of saying the gospel. Now for the second half, let me say it another way. It's the same message, but said slightly differently. And I asked the teenagers this the other day, and it's a good question. What was God doing before the world was created? What was God doing before the world was created? Okay, so go back to the beginning of time. Picture God, right? What's he doing? All right? Yeah, go on, shout it out.
Maybe before he made the universe first.
Before he made the universe, what was he doing?
Galaxy.
Before the galaxy.
What about what the future is like?
Before he's thinking of the future, what's he doing? Spot on. You got it in the end. And you kind of spoiled my sermon for the next 5 minutes because I'm building up to that. He's thinking about Jesus. All right. So what's your view of God now as we come to Good Friday? Like we've just had a massive spoiler, but thank God for it. Was, before the theologian at the back told us the right answer, was your view of God that he was a creator? Did God create? Yeah, he created, isn't it? Right, okay. But, like he's the boss who just creates stuff. But if that's your view of God on Good Friday, he's an almighty creator up in the sky, the problem with that is it won't help you love him on Good Friday, because if he's just a creator, he turns out to be pitifully weak, because he needs created things in order to have his job. You understand? If he's just a creator, he's nothing without created beings. Which actually makes us more powerful than God, doesn't it? Because without us, he's got nothing to have created. Right, now, let me tell you a funny story which the teens enjoyed. I got a friend called Garth. And when I get lonely and bored, I text him. And I just say, Garth, 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 over and over again. And he's in work. And he gets increasingly annoyed, which makes it a wonderful experience for me. And I just text him, Garth, Garth. And I text him until he replies. And then a few weeks ago, he replied in capital letters, I can't take your neediness anymore. Stop texting me. And it was really funny, and I told Rita all about it. Now, I need Garth in that funny story, right? Without Garth, I'm lonely and bored. Do you see? I need him, so I'm always pestering him to respond to me. But if God is a creator, he needs us. He needs us, right? He's lonely and bored without us. So that can't be your central view of God. If he's a ruler, and this morning I say to all of you in the room, he's a ruler, and he tells you to come and love Jesus this morning. You might be scared, but you won't love him, will you? He might offer you forgiveness because you've broken the rules, and you'll say, oh, thanks, almighty ruler. But you won't love him. And Good Friday won't be really good for you. It'd be like homework coming to church to please the ruler, won't it? Okay, so think of a traffic policeman this morning, okay, and he's chasing you down the road. I asked the teens, if you get caught by a traffic policeman, what are the three outcomes that could possibly happen? All right, let's just say the policeman is like God. He's this ruler and he's chasing you down because you've broken the rules. Right, Ethan, yeah, what's one option if you get caught?
No.
No? No, right, Courtney. No, another one down yet?
Have a card.
You're going to get punished?
Yeah.
You're right, that's one, yeah? What's another one?
You get caught,
but he lets you off the hook. One of those dodgy policemen, yeah. Yeah, Ethan? There's one other option.
Instead of
what?
And then the cops could, like,
underarrest us. Yeah, that's punished. The other one is you get caught and he lets you off. The other one is you manage to avoid him. And he gets off the car, out the car, and you sprint off. Yeah? As he's walking. Yeah, I did say when you get caught, sorry. Okay, but if your view of God is the almighty creator is needy, if your view is he's an almighty ruler who's commanding you stuff all day long, you'd be like, okay, I got caught, and Good Friday is just me getting off the hook because Jesus got caught for me, right? Okay. And we'd say thanks. But again, would you really love him? Because you'd rather not have got caught in the first place, wouldn't you? That's the greatest outcome. You just carry on as you were. All right, so is he a traffic policeman on Good Friday? What are we dealing with here? Okay. What?
Bad things.
Well, we are dealing with bad things in our heart. All right, so thank God for Good Friday and what he was actually doing before the foundation of the world and what he's actually like. Now listen, all of you. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me, says Jesus, before the creation of the world. What was God doing before the foundation of the world? He was loving his Son in the Spirit. Okay? The Trinity. The Father loves Jesus so much, John 3 says he just places everything in his hand. Ogmore Vale belongs to Jesus because the Father gave it to him. He also shows Jesus all things that he does. So the Son just knows everything that the Father's doing. If the Father was at your meal table at lunchtime, he'd be talking about Jesus. He just loves Jesus, right? But then Jesus comes to planet Earth, and what's his message? I love the Father. I love him. And he's like, and the world must know that I love the Father, he says in John 14. And he says, I love him so much, my food is just to do his will. All right, so let's wrap all this up. Good Friday, my friends. When you see Jesus hanging on a cross, dying, you must think Trinity. This is the Father's Son hanging there, and he's doing it because it's the Father's will, and the Spirit is active in making us realize it. Wow, this is something big. It means this. It was the Father's desire that he loves the Son so much, he wants to create a world and save sinners so that they can be loved by him as much as he loves Jesus. So they came and created a world where there were sinners who don't know God, who follow their own way, and he welcomes them into his family to experience the love of God that Jesus knew before the foundation of the world. If you have got a bad heart, forget the philosophies at the start which think I've just got to impress God. I'm talking to people who admit they get jealous, they get angry, they get proud, they sometimes act and say certain things in church to pass themselves off as better than they actually are. I'm talking about like the hypocrites, the people in love with themselves more than God. This is for you. It's not for the people who think they're amazing and sinless and need to find themselves. It's for people who say, nah, he needs to find me because I am outside of God's love. And the message this morning is Jesus on that cross with outstretched arms is there for sinners and says, I'll just take all of your sin away and I'll bring you into a better love than you've got for yourself. You can know the Father's love. Like he loved me before the foundation of the world. That's Good Friday. Does he love you? Do you love him? I could say to my friend, because Jesus has died, when she was dying, let not your heart be troubled. In a few moments, you'll be with him. You'll be with him because he's taken your sins away. I could say to my mom when she had leukemia, Jesus says, Mom, lo, I will be with you always because you're in the family of God. And I say to you as we close, there's one way to the Father, and there he is, dying on a cross for us. Don't be afraid. Your soul is loved by God for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.